church, clap your hands for Jesus. Clap your hands for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me read one scripture for you. Remain standing. Are you tired of serving God? Amen. There is one song in Hausa language that says, Samari kungejine ba kajia. Yamata kungejine ba kajia. Sojoji Yesu baza sutaba kajiba. Sojoji Yesu baza sutaba kajiba. Saying, young girls, are you tired? They answer, lie, we are not tired. Young men, are you tired? They say, lie, we're not tired. And they all chorus, soldiers of Christ will never be tired. That is soldier Jesus. Praise the Lord. If you are tired, you are not a soldier of Christ. In this part, you're not giving up. Let me quickly read Isaiah 61. Before you sit down, Isaiah 61, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Verse 6 and verse 7. But ye shall be named, amen. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall you boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. And the church will say, God bless you. Be seated. Let's have a short exhortation, and I spoke over it during our Thursday breakthrough program, and I promise that I will also repeat it, but maybe get a little bit more extensive than I did. And I try to tell you what the anointing is, where the power is. And I will continue to say it, repeat some of these messages. I will continue to repeat them until the vast majority of the people coming here will catch these revelations. We will continue to hammer it. The purpose of my ministry, me here, everybody say, God call them. That's between them and God. Everybody knows what he believes his calling is. I know what my own calling is. The greatest joy I have, praise the Lord, is to get the people to be connected to heaven. If the individual is connected to heaven, the joy and the job of a pastor will be greatly lessened. The joy of the servants of God, the ministers of the fivefold ministry, will be greatly reduced. If the believers can be connected to heaven. The truth is that the generality of pastors, they get the people to connect to them. They make everybody see the grace of God upon them and cause the people's faith to be on them. And there is a way that you they teach these things, and then before you know what, they become idols of the people. The people begin to idolize them. I keep saying these things because I'm not talking just to this group here. I am talking to the whole world. I'm talking to people, and I know one of these days, some pastor somewhere will hear me and correct their ministries. That's why I say it. And I'm happy many pastors all around the world are catching some of these things we say, and they are adjusting. But some have become too much of big gods. Pride has taken over them. They cannot do otherwise. That is why we continue to say this, continue to say it, that this is my ministry, so that you will understand why in this ministry I keep telling you that there is my joy is not in anybody coming here to testify and Pastor Moses and Pastor Moses and Daddy did this and this happened, and then I just say, and Daddy just touched me, and then I somersaulted, and then I found myself in America, and then he touched me, and then this one happened. The testimony that excites me is to see somebody stand on scripture, challenge God, stand and exercise faith, and say, this is the result. When you do that under my ministry, I am jumping for joy. I have succeeded. I don't catch one. And my prayer is that everyone that gets connected to this ministry will see reason to be connected to heaven in the name of Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 19, the parable there is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we read it? Luke chapter 19. I'm saying this for a pastor to hear. A pastor somewhere, a minister somewhere, anybody that believes God has called you. Let's go to verse 11. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable. Because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And who is that nobleman? It's Jesus. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, what did he say they should do? Say it again. Occupy till I come. But the citizen hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returning, and when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound had gained 10 pounds. Verse 16 again. Thy pound, you gave me pound. You gave me 10 pounds. Your 10 pound has produced 10 pounds again. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. He was given 10 pounds, and he was supposed to trade with it. And he was asked, listen very well, and in case there's any pastor too that is watching me or listening to me for the first time, look at that scripture very well. We have taught it all these years, And that can also be true. That can also be true because the ministry that God has given us is the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry that God has given us is a ministry of reconciliation. To reconcile man back to God. But look at that parable very well. That parable very well is not the ministry of evangelism. Look at it very well. You were given, and the talent that is given there, if he says he wants to see what you have gained with it, then we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, where he said, for the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone to profit with her. And the talent that he gave are those spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 9 of them. And he gave some, 1, some, 10, some, this, so you can have multiple of these gifts. And these gifts are the talents. And these gifts define your ministry. And so, the gifts that God has given you, the grace that God has given you, he gave you, he said, you are to profit with it. You were given a pound. Amen. You were given 10 pounds. When it was time to ask, listen very well. When it was reckoning time, he came back for 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, tells us, for we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That takes place after the rapture. Now, when we stand, that is when what we did with the talent that he gave us, we will account for it. Oh yeah, what did you do with the talent? Now, he gave this one 10 pounds. What did he come to show? Did he show any other thing or pound? He gave him pound, so he is to produce pound to him. The talent that God gave you is supposed to produce other talents. Through you, other gifts are supposed to be produced. If you are a true minister, every gift you have, you are supposed to ensure you use it in such a way that you will produce more of that gift. Therefore, all of us that claim to be pastors, we must produce other pastors. Excuse me, I don't mean employ other pastors. Am I saying something? Not the denominations that employ pastors and pay them salary. No. Our salary is not here. Our salary is when we finish the work. When we finish the job, then he will pay us our salary. For now, it is work time. And he's not around. When he comes, then he will pay us our salary. Forget these people who set up their kingdoms and say they are doing ministry. And so I said something, every true spiritual gift is infectious. Amen. That means I am supposed to produce other ministers. Well, I used it to let you understand why I am emphasizing certain things. I know when you get connected to God, he will positionally place you in the ministry. So when I emphasize some of these things, please, some of them look repetitive, but it's important. It's very, very important that I say for somebody to understand that when you joke with your talent, for instance, you're actually joking with your reward. And then he added, in that parable, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. People will regret. The opportunity given us to serve God, we misused it. The gifts given to us, we misused it. It will not be your portion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There is something I want to call your attention to. The reason that they keep getting us, manipulating us, so-called men of God, and they have become, you know, idols themselves. So much idols until they have members that if you mention the name of their pastor in a way they don't like, they can kill you. But you can say anything you like about Jesus, it doesn't matter. There is a power that God has given every human being. See, let's think on this line. Let's think on this line. There's a scripture in Psalm 82. Let's read it. Psalm 82, verses 5 and 6. Concerning the wicked, he was talking about the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. Then he says, all the foundations of the earth are out of course. Now, listen. All the foundations of the earth, he said they are out of course. What is a foundation? A foundation is the base upon which a building rests. And a foundation is the strength of every building. It is the beginning of the building. And when the beginning of the building is faulty, then the whole building itself will collapse. So foundation of everything, the foundation, and this includes the foundation of our faith. And the first foundation on earth is the foundation, hallelujah, of thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded forth from the mouth of God. The first foundation on earth is the word of God. And that foundation of the word of God was given to Adam and Eve. The word of God was given to them. The word of God was messed up. That is where every human being has foundational problem. All this one, the deliverance minister say you have foundation cause. A foundation cause. All of us, we have foundation cause. Our foundation is from the Garden of Eden. All of us, we have foundational problem. All of us, every one of us, we have foundational problem. Our foundation is out of course. But it took Christ to come to the cross on Calvary to lay another foundation. And he came again with, thus saith the Lord. Oh, glory be to God. He is again the word of God made flesh. I am the bread of life. Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Let's read verse 6 of Psalm 82 again. I have said, that's where I am going, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. Hey. I have said, ye are gods. And all of you are the children of the Most High. The Most High. Amen. How are we gods? How are we gods? It is in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Genesis chapter 1, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Can you see why we are gods now? Can you see why we are gods? Because we are made in his image. When you give birth to a child, you have produced another image of you. That person automatically is a human being. You don't turn him to a human being again. He is a human being. The Son of God is God. That is what Christ was trying to demonstrate to the Pharisees and Sadducees. They couldn't understand. They thought he was blaspheming. He was not blaspheming. The Son of God is God also. We are made in his image and in his likeness. And the power of God, of dominion, he has given it to us. We have power to dominate. We have authority. We are in control of the whole earth. Unfortunately, all the foundations of the earth are out of course. So even we ourselves, we don't know who we are again. We don't know who we are again. If you know who you are, will you go and go and pay somebody to go and pray for you? If you know who you are. If you know who you are, will you be afraid that a human being can curse you? Will you be afraid of witches and wizards if you know who you are? And let me say it. If you know who you are, will you go and commit fornication, adultery? It's because you don't know who you are. But it is written who we are. He said we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. That God dwells in you. How can you have the knowledge that God dwells in you and go and be fornicating? It's because you don't know who you are. You don't know who you are. Amen. Small problem, you are crying. Small problem, you are crying. It's because you don't know who you are. You don't know who you are. You even stand and grumble at your condition. It's because you don't know who you are. You murmur. You people murmur against God. It's because you don't know who you are. You don't know who you are. Ask your neighbor, do you know who you are? Ask your neighbor. Ask four people around you. And make sure they answer you. Answer your neighbor. Answer them. A songwriter says, I know who I am. Are you sure you know who you are? He said, I am walking in what? Power.
I'm walking in power. I walk in miracles. I live a life of favor. I'm walking in power. I walk in miracles. I live a life of favor.
Thank you. Hallelujah. They're walking in power, walking in miracle. I threw out this December. You know, can you go home because you're afraid of one witch? I'm walking in power. I know who I am.
Take a look at me. I'm a wonder. It doesn't matter what you see now.
I hear you.
I see this year.
Hallelujah. You are correct, sister. Somebody here, Christians are a wonder. You are correct. That songwriter, you are a wonder. It's a wonder that a child of a king, a prince is walking on his leg and the servants are riding on horses. It's a wonder. You are a wonder. You are a wonder. It's a wonder that a Christian woman will dress like a prostitute. You are a wonder. It's a wonder. You are a mighty wonder. a wonder for a normal human being to dress like a masquerade, put all sorts of things on your head. You are a wonder. Sing them again. Sing them again.
Take a look at me, I'm a wonder.
I can look at me, I'm a wonder.
I want to see now.
I can look at me,
I want to see this glory. Take a look at me, I'm a wonder.
A wonder.
It doesn't matter what you see now. I see this glory. I know who I am.
Take a look at me, you are a wonder. You are a wonder. God created you, sister, normal. You carry hole, carry nail, chuck over your ear, hang something there. You are a wonder. You are, oh, take a look at me very well. I am a wonder. Wonder. The Bible says ye are gods. But these gods, they run away from other gods. You are a wonder. What type of God is running away from other God? It is the lesser God that bows to the higher God. That God bowed before the God of Israel. He bowed, just carried the ark, put where their God is. When they came in the morning, every knee must bow, every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. See, wonderful people of God. You are a wonder. Wonder God. I'm walking in miracle. I'm walking in dominion. What have you dominated? You are not yet walking in dominion until you have power to say no to sin. The greatest power anybody can have is power to look at anything contrary to the will of God and say, you lie. When you have a power to say no to sin, I will not lie. You can cut my head. I'm ready to die. I will speak the truth. I do. I'm not ashamed to confess. And I do. And then one young girl was confessing to me some years back. And I came here. I made up my mind I would not sleep with any man again. Then the brother came. He said, rain fall. 9 days for my house, make you go. You know, go, he said, make rain fall, finish first. Then the rain stay long. The rain no stop. Then the brother begin touch me. I call the warn him. I call the tell him, say, see, Pastor Moses, they preach against this thing. Oh. Now, Pastor Moses, they preach against it. Now, Pastor Moses. She was telling me this in my office. Maybe she's there here now. No. Pastor Moses, they preach against this. This thing is not good, though. We should not do this. So she said, then she was telling him, no. He said, then he can't touch me. Where is my weak point? I said, touch me there. I don't come be myself again. He can't touch me. And once he touched me there, I know to be myself again. What a shame for a sister Christian woman to be, you say you're a Christian, and then this, the first thing all of us in this age, Christians, the first thing we face in our battlefield against the kingdom of darkness is the spirit of lust. That's the first battle we face. It's the first decision you make. I will not defy myself. I don't do it before. I stop now. That is the first area of victory you have. To say, no. I used to drink. I don't drink again. I used to fornicate. I will not fornicate again. Under any condition. Not because the pastor say it. Not because they preach it in our church. But because this is how God wants it. God wants it. So whether I go to church or not, I'm still serving my God wherever I am. Oh, glory be to God. Is there any day one know they talk against fornication? You know who you are. You know you are a wonder. You are a wonder, wonder. A wonder, wonder, wonder. Bible there by your side. You finish reading Bible. You finish your morning devotion. You finish your evening prayer. And then as you finish, your boyfriend is waiting for you on the bed. Are you not a wonder? You are a wonder. You are a wonder. With Bible by your side, you are a wonder. You are a wonder. Wonder. Oh, praise the Lord. We are gods. Let's look at that scripture very well. If we are in the image of God, in the likeness of God, then there are attributes of God in us. And number one attribute of God is that He's a creator. Therefore, every human being has a creative ability in you. It is that ability. That's what our brother Evi Smart, he call it Oyibo witch. No, it is not just witch. It's not witch, your own language. It is the God-given ability to create that brings about all this technology. It's the ability to create. But this creation, listen very well, this creation that we are creating here and here, the fan, the electricity, the shoe, the clothes, and everything we wear, it is man in his fallen estate trying to have an alternative means, since we are disconnected and the foundations of the earth have all been disjointed. There's confusion everywhere. We got disconnected from God. But there is yet an ability, especially for us that have been reconciled to God. We are creators. We are creators. Look, covenant children of God. Look at Israel. Israel is the greatest inventor country in the whole world. Because there is a covenant, there is a connection between them and God, the creator, the inventor. It gives them this ability. But now we here, listen, there is the ability, the God-given ability or an endowment that God has given us, that the day you discover that also, you will reshape your life. Your life will be reshaped again. And it is with the power of the spoken word. The power of the tongue. And that is what I was teaching. Come for breakthrough anointing service. And people are thinking the anointing is in pouring, what do you call it, anointing oil. The anointing is not in the oil. The anointing is in what you say. The anointing is in what you say. Can we read James chapter 3? From verse 1. It says, my brethren, listen to that admonishment very well. Be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be great, they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listed. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasted great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a word of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. To every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and has been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. The mouth, the tongue. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, since these things ought not to be so, ought not so to be, doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine fix? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh water. And that is according to Apostle James, trying to teach us to use our tongues positively as Christians. But there is a mystery in answering the question of Apostle James. Can a fountain bring forth sweet water and bitter water? I said the truth about it is this. There is one fountain I know that brings forth both sweet water and bitter water. And that fountain is the tongue. How do I know? Because my Bible tells me in Proverbs chapter 18 verse 20 and verse 21, it said death and life are in this tongue, in the power of the tongue. From this mouth, life can proceed, and from this mouth, death also can proceed. Hallelujah.